Please pray with me. God of Elijah and Elisha, God of each of us, we ask you to reveal yourself to us in a new way this morning through the interpretation of your word. May the word of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the face of major transitions in our lives, we all respond differently. Transitions can be of all sorts. They can be exciting, like starting a new career. They can be unexpected, like the onset of pain or symptoms that don't go away. They can be long anticipated, like the countdown to retirement or the birth of a child. And in last week's sermon from 1 Kings, Gretchen told us of a major transition happening in the life of Elijah. He ran into the wilderness after a major success, defeating the prophets of Baal. What was not as much of a success was the murder of said prophets, which Gretchen suggested may have led to Elijah's self-pity and fear of retribution. Unwilling to face his actions or to take on the next responsibilities that God had for him, he chose to run away that time. And in this wilderness, he heard God's voice coming to him in the silence, thin and quiet. This voice compelled Elijah to get out of the wilderness and go back to complete the ministry that God had for him to finish during his life. Now, after obedience and faithfulness, Elijah will have the chance to rest. And not because he is running away like he did earlier, but because his time has come. God will grant Elijah's desires and give him the union with God that he longs for. He will not die or suffer illness. God will take him up into the heavens in a whirlwind, a chariot and horses made of fire carrying him away. It does seem, though, that Elijah has a couple of loose ends to tie up before he can ride off in this holy fireworks display. He has some stops to make before his final destination at the Jordan River. Elisha, ever determined, cannot seem to get Elijah's attention. Not only is it hard for Elisha to get his teacher's attention, it appears that he is avoiding Elisha. First, Elijah tells him to stay in Gilgal. Elijah wants to make this transition on his own, and he thinks that this moment is just for him and God. This is not a moment for Elisha. And yet Elisha will not leave. He refuses to stay, and he follows him to the next town. They have the same conversation there, and he refuses to stay there too. And then he follows him to the next town, and they have the same conversation there. And they have the same conversation at the Jordan River. They continue all the way to the bank of the Jordan with the company of prophets underneath Elijah with them too. Elisha refuses to let go, we could say. We could even say that he is trying to hold Elijah back from the holy transition from this life to the next one, refusing to acknowledge that it is time to move on. Elijah already anointed him as the prophet that would succeed him chapters ago. So what is Elisha's deal? What is the hang-up? Why can't he seem to accept that the time to transition is here? Elisha's hang-up is this. Elijah isn't finished yet. Elisha wants more than the title of prophet. Elisha wants more than the appointment. He wants the power. He wants the power that God gave Elijah, and he isn't afraid to ask for more of it. I wonder if Elisha knew what tasks would be ahead for him, what kind of power he would need to accomplish what God had set out for him to do. He tells the other prophets not to distract him. When they tell him that Elijah's time is near, he tells them to keep quiet. He stays focused on this goal, which is to stay with Elijah and not let him leave until he receives what he needs. And the further Elijah travels, the further Elisha goes with him. He does not give up. Elijah seems a little checked out, a little burnt out, a little out of here, and Elisha will have none of it. He has one more ask, and he will wrestle it out of Elijah, no matter how many cities, no matter how many dodges, no matter how many people tell him to let it alone. Elijah has one more ask, and he is not afraid to make it. And when he finally makes it, it does not happen until they cross the Jordan together. It does not happen until Elijah removes his cloak and rolls it up like a staff. He strikes the Jordan River like Moses strikes the Red Sea, and the waters part. They pass through it to the other side of the river together. And it is there, when the two are finally alone, that Elijah is fully present. Elijah and Elisha have a vulnerable moment here. It is there on the other side of the Jordan that Elisha asks for a double share, or in some translations, a double portion of his spirit. Elisha knows he's going to need it, and he asks for it. Elijah does not tell him no, but he does tell Elisha like it is. He tells Elisha that he has asked for something hard. What Elisha wants will cost him something. It will be difficult, this double share. Elijah says he can have it. But to have it, he must do something even braver than following Elijah around and making the ask of his life. He must behold the very transition Elijah is about to undergo. He must stand with his feet on that side of the Jordan and take it all in while Elijah leaves this world. He must behold the chariots and horses of fire. He must pay attention to the whirlwind. Elijah and Elisha have one more conversation before this moment, one that we don't know. But what we do know is that they are mid-sentence when the chariot and the horses separate them. They have run out of time for final goodbyes and meaningful embraces. As quickly as they come, they leave, taking Elijah with them. And now, in his grief, Elisha tears his clothes and weeps. Elijah has left something behind. He has left behind his mantle, his cloak, the one that parted the waters of the Jordan earlier, and he cries out, "Where is God?" And does what he saw Elijah do. He strikes the water and then walks through the parted river. Elisha comes away from this holy encounter, blessed and equipped by God. Getting there to the other side of the Jordan was not easy. Elisha had to be persistent. He had to address the voices of his peers telling him to leave Elijah alone. He had to address Elijah multiple times before he could even ask his final request. So, what asks are we putting off today, right now? I venture to guess that many of us are not daring to ask like Elisha did. We are afraid of how others might perceive us. We do not want to appear needy or entitled or rude. And sometimes, in order for the things we need to happen, we need to embrace the spirit of Elisha. We need to ask for that double share. And we need to do it without shame and do it without embarrassment. There are those of us that are letting go that also have something to learn from this story. Even if we have a meaningful goodbye or it gets cut short, the grief is still there. The reality of the deep love between Elijah and Elisha is there. The reality of the deep love we feel for one another is there. And we can cry out too, "Where is God?" even as we move forward in the power of God's Spirit. These transitions tend to bring out the best and the worst in us. Transitions are hard on all sides of this story of change and loss. It looks like Elijah is playing games with Elisha until the very end when it counts the most. When it counts the most and Elijah finally steps up and listens to what Elisha needs from him, Elisha appears to be disrespectful and ignorant, avoiding the sound advice of his peers, telling him to leave Elijah alone and obey his orders. The company of prophets appear a little self-righteous and uninterested in doing anything except telling Elijah what to do and standing back. The transitions we are facing in all of our lives right now will not go away, even if we try to avoid them. They will not disappear if we try to outrun the conversations that we need to have. They will not disappear if we stand back and become spectators in our lives, the lives in which we are meant to be totally and fully present. And they will not disappear if we try to push someone to give us what we need before they are ready. The transitions in our city seem immenser than they were before. We are in the middle of recovering from a ransomware attack on our city systems. I personally have not received a water bill since April. I don't know about any of you. Our city council and the new mayor of Baltimore City are attempting to restore order after the resignation of Pew. We are at 165 homicides already this year. That is about 25 homicides a month. Highland Town and other parts of our city with many immigrant families are now emptier, according to our sister parish, Sacred Heart, due to the fear stirred up by the potential ICE raids in the city. Many families have left and not told anyone where they are going, and some of them may never come back to Baltimore. Some members of one of the only populations growing in our city are leaving. We are in an Elisha moment. We are in a moment where we need to demand more than the mantle from the ones who have gone before us. We say to Baltimore City and to ourselves, I will not leave you. We must harness this Elisha moment. We cannot see these transitions as opportunities to be afraid or for fear to have the final say. We must say to the people who are ahead of us, the ones that have appointed us as their successors in this city, that we will not leave. We will not leave until we receive a double portion of that spirit, the one that we have been promised. The people of Baltimore City have to be determined before, and they need to be determined again. We must cross the Jordan River and make the big ask that we are afraid to make. So what is your Jordan River? Many of you know already. You know who you need to talk to today. You know what you need to change in order to shift the tide in your life and in our city. So go and ask. Go and ask for that double share. Cross over the Jordan. And do not walk away as you watch the power of what you asked for happen before your eyes. Do what Elisha did. Stand in your confusion and in your grief, in your bravery, and in your vulnerability. Take in the glory of your transforming life and our transforming city. May we and the Baltimore we love never be the same. Amen.